Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It's 2:47 p.m. That is Central Time, and today is May 25th. Well, the Chinese renminbi today hit a new recovery high, and that was on the back of the some people, at least in the central bank, saying that the renminbi might have to appreciate even further. Then that posting was deleted, and a more sanguine statement was released that they're happy enough with the status quo to remain. So this is a major central bank saying that they think that their currency is fairly valued and that they don't have much intention of devaluing it. And they're attempting to get a control of inflationary pressures. And this is very similar to the kind of environment that we had in the early 2000s. We had an environment where the USA wanted to have a weak currency. They needed it because of the recession that followed the bursting of the TMT bubble. Then they needed a weaker currency because of the impact that 9/11 had on consumer sentiment and the broad outlook for the US economy. So there was a massive surge in supply of new money, and the US wanted to have the weakest currency, and that created inflationary pressures, particularly in the commodity complex. We had new sources of demand in commodities, so that started to drive up prices. We had the supply inelasticity environment for commodities. Then we had this environment in currencies, where no country particularly wants a strong currency, but some need a weaker currency more than others. And that's very similar to what we have today. So China doesn't particularly want a strong currency, but the USA needs a weaker currency. And that's certainly what we're seeing here. So the dollar index remains weak, and it is now right back on its lows. And if we look at the Bloomberg Dollar Index, which includes the renminbi, then it's showing more of an exaggerated move, and we're right in the region of the lows put in January, and not a great deal of evidence to suggest that this is going to be anything other than a very short-term pause within a broader downtrend overall. We also, in here today, saw a little bit of profit-taking, or at least a pause on Wall Street, and the VIX Index was well off its lows in here today. I think sometimes it is much better to just simply look at weekly charts. We can definitely see that there's a downward trend in volatility since the peaks back in March of 2020. And until that sequence is broken, then we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. But we've had a pretty good advance over the course of the last week, and we are starting to see a little pause coming through today, but nothing at all to be alarmed at, really, overall. And we've had a process of mean reversion going on in the NASDAQ for most of the last 3 months, but this has been more a consolidation in terms of rotation than outright declines. So the S&P 500 has been outperforming. It still has a broader or a wider overextension relative to the trend mean overall. But the bigger picture here is that the currency is underperforming. And when the currency underperforms, well, then the USA becomes less attractive from the perspective of an international investor. So then we can think about, well, how does Europe look from the perspective of a US investor? And those, I guess that ratio is probably one of the things that is going to favor Europe overall. So European markets are breaking on the upside in US dollar terms. The Japanese market has already broken on the upside in US dollar terms, and it's really just now consolidating in the region of the trend mean. But this is a very compelling long-term chart overall. And it's not something that we see particularly often. So there is obviously something else that's going on here, that we're getting a bigger rotation. And that's certainly favoring China, because they have determined that they're going to allow their currency to remain strong, so that's going to boost capital inflows. And the market has been ranging for the last 3 months. This was the first evidence of a clear break on the upside, so that's certainly grounds for more enthusiasm on the part of bulls. When we look at the Hang Seng, it has rallied enough in the beginning of this year to break a three-year downtrend, and now it's firming from the region of the trend mean, so that's certainly outperforming the H-share index, which has been ranging for a decade. But even there, we're starting to see some evidence of support coming back in. Well, among the momentum trades, Kwai Chau Mutai is often regarded as defensive, but its share price says anything but. And it also rebounded really quite impressively from the region of the trend mean. The one thing that it has in its favor is there's nobody in the Communist Party going after the company. Whereas when we think about the performance of Tencent, it also steadied, but it has the regulatory headwind in front of it as well. So domestic investors are really starting to favor the more politically well-connected, less threatening innovation-type companies rather than the big techs. If China's stock market does well and its currency does well, well, then that takes pressure off of regional economies, and the Asia dollar index was also in positive territory today. When we think about what's going on in the broader market, we've seen that Europe has broken out of a very long-term range. Japan has broken out of a very long-term range. The Australian market is now right in the region of its all-time highs, and it's testing the highs in US dollars. In local currency terms, it is already at new closing highs on a monthly basis. So this is the completion of a 13-year range. We can think about the copper price, which has been going sideways for nearly 15 years and is now also in the region of new highs. It was in negative territory today. I think it's quite likely we're going to have some consolidation. But when we look at this longer-term chart, well, it looks like we're going to have a break on the upside. So commodity prices do look like we're going to see more bull market activity despite the short-term overbought conditions. I would reiterate that commodities are best bought following reactions, and gold has certainly had a reaction, and it probably gives us a reasonable picture of what we might anticipate for something like copper. Enthusiasm about gold was at a peak back in August, and there were very few people willing to countenance that it was going to pull back by approximately $500, or I guess $400. Well, right now there's an enormous amount of enthusiasm about copper, but we have a very big overbought condition. There's clearly been acceleration. We're in the region of a previous peak, so it's quite likely that we're going to have at least some pause and consolidation. But gold has already had all of that, and now we're starting to see steadier action overall. As the dollar starts to come back down, well, then we're going to see that assets like gold move into their own. It's really all about the devaluation of fiat currencies, widening interest rate differentials, the negative real interest rate environment, really, with regard to gold. The 10-year Treasury yield was in negative territory today, down by about 3 basis points. So we're not seeing it trending higher. Instead, we've seen over the last 4 days that the bond yield has moderated. So that's clearly suggestive of some risk getting taken out of the market. At least there's some appetite for buying the dip in bonds. We've certainly had a very choppy environment in the bond price over the course of the last month. I got shaken out of my long, and then now prices have started to push back up again. But this process of a mean reversion has been really very mild, and mostly it's allowing the moving average to catch up with the price. There's a great deal of additional new supply hitting the market, so then there's obviously a an argument for why prices should have difficulty rallying. But I think it is rather important to look at some of these areas where there is this assumption that we're going to have intransigent supply disruptions for a prolonged period of time. When we think about lumber, it popped on the upside in 1992 and 1993, and that was a tripling of prices. And subsequently, they went sideways for an extraordinarily prolonged period of time. Well, lumber was limit down again in here today, and this looks like a lower high. And if the peak is in, well, then the continued expectations that prices are going to continue to surge higher will have to be pegged back. So it's unlikely, at least in my view, that the price of lumber is going to exceed the peak around $1,700 anytime soon. And instead, I think it's much more likely that supply is going to start coming back into the market and that we're going to have a significant deterioration in prices. And that would remove a significant source of inflation because of the impact that that would have on home building costs. Of course, the cost of home building will be, there'll be a delay in how that's passed on. So it might be beneficial for home builders. Lennar Homes, for example, was one of the better performers in here today on the S&P 500. But as we look at gold and the oil sector overall, well, they generally tend to be some of the better hedges against inflation. Obviously, oil today is extremely unpopular, and the price is still hovering here around the $70 area. One thing that I think is quite interesting is that if we look at the Dow oil ratio, then we're presented with a rather interesting environment. There are four very significant peaks in this price series that goes all the way back to 1900. So we have an awful lot of back history. And we had an extraordinarily accelerated environment in 2020 because oil prices went negative. So the Dow was obviously trading at an incredibly high level. But every time we've seen a significant peak in the oil price, in stocks relative to the oil price, it's been the beginning of a new commodity-led bull market. And the last time we had a big peak like that was in the late 1990s. So it would suggest that we have to be prepared for the possibility that commodities are going to outperform. And that by the same token, the Dow is not going down. So it would suggest, therefore, that commodities could go up faster than the stock market, or that stocks will probably range more than trend. Then we can think about the fact that such large numbers of international indices are breaking on the upside, and their currencies are appreciating, and commodity prices are doing better. So there is likely not only to be a rotation out of tech and into value, but potentially also a rotation out of high growth, high market cap companies and into the emerging markets and commodity producers. And again, that is quite similar to what we had in the early 2000s. And it suggests that the mining sector and the rise of the global consumer and the consumer-led companies are likely to be among the better performers. When we think about the performance, for example, of Hengan International, it was one of the best loved of the Chinese consumer shares in the early 2000s. And then it went through this crushing bear market, and we had an incredible implosion in the price from the peak in 2015. But the price is now right back on its lows, and it is just about beginning to find support. There isn't a great deal of evidence yet that this downtrend is in fact over, but it is an Asia dividend aristocrat. And it yields 5.78%, and it's been growing that yield at a healthy clip over the course of the last couple of decades. So there is the potential that this clear demand that we've seen for dividend aristocrats in the USA is going to start translating into other companies. And that's particularly true for Asia, because we do have this clear argument for the growth of the global consumer. And then the strengthening currencies should also help to complete base formations for some of these companies, because they've really been out in the cold for an awfully long time. And you've got yields that are competitive on a long-term basis, and PEs that might not be bargain basement, but are certainly attractive. And I think this is also part of the reason why money is starting to flow back into places like China, India, Indonesia, and South Korea, Taiwan, Thailand. It's because as long as China's willing to allow their currency to appreciate, then that allows those other countries to let their currencies appreciate. And that will attract foreign capital. And as the dollar trends down, or indeed breaks down, then there'll be a flood of money coming out of some of these markets and into smaller emerging markets, where a relatively small amount of money can have a much bigger impact overall. And that's, I think, part of what we're probably seeing symptoms of that in emerging Europe, because these are much smaller markets than we have, for example, with Thailand. So the Vilnius stock market is trending higher in an impressive manner. If we look at the Hungarian market, which would be obviously larger, then it's also right on the region of its highs. So these are probably early movers because they're small, and a small amount of money can, on comparative terms to what's being invested in large caps, can have an outsized effect on some of these places. And of course, then there's the speculative interest that has been in Bitcoin. What I find especially interesting is the doubling down of the bulls. And we've seen, for example, that yesterday we had Elon Musk saying that he's concentrating on Dogecoin. And there's a number of the large whales who are the long-term holders of Bitcoin have been buying this dip and spent about $20 billion on new coins. Of course, if they were the buyers originally, they have highly appreciated assets, but buying $20 billion, that $20 billion has to come from somewhere. It would beg the question, are they borrowing against their earlier purchases? And if they are, well, then their average purchase price is rising. And anyone who was an early buyer and is now backing up the truck here, well, then they're also raising their average purchase price. And it's exactly this kind of activity results in people losing everything, because the early movers in a bull market, they have a very low cost base. Then they get a big decline, and they look at how much money they have, how much money they've made, and they start spending it based upon what prices could be in the future. So then they start leveraging against their position. They start betting that the price is going to multiply again from current levels, and they get combative with the market. Well, the problem with getting combative with the market is you never win. And feeling like that the market owes you some money is something that is rather terminal to one's personal wealth. And the price, despite all of this bullish activity, was down an extra $1,400 today. And it is still consolidating here, or perhaps distributing here in the region of the trend mean. It looks like a completed top formation. And until it stops looking like a completed top formation or is extraordinarily oversold, I'm going to steer clear of this market. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.